At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
With your host, Andrew Donaldson, this is Heard Tell.
Welcome back to Heard Tell. I'm Andrew Donaldson. Thank you so much for giving us the most precious thing you have, your time. We try to do what we always do, turn down the noise of the news cycle, get to the information we need to properly discern the times we live in. Now, President Biden went down to Atlanta over the weekend. This was a campaign trip. He did the commencement at Morehouse College, a historical black college and university down there. There was a lot of national narratives built into this, and it was a campaign trip. Let's call it what it is. The previous Friday, he went to the National Museum of African American History. He is trying to shore up an important part of the Democratic base in the black and African-American vote. So this was all part of that over the course of a couple of days, and he went down there. Now, there was some pushback from the college. We know the environment we're in with the protests nationwide on various college campuses. Was that going to happen? Morehouse itself is a very important college to the black community down there. What is that? How does that play into it? The thing is, everybody just takes their national narratives and kind of slams them into whatever they're doing and just moves along. But that's not what we do. We try to do the opposite. But fortunately, we got friends in Atlanta. Donnell Suggs, editor-in-chief of the Atlanta Voice, a historical black paper down there. It's been black-owned since the 1960s. Excellent publication. He's been a good friend of the program, been on before. But he was there. He covered Biden. He was part of the local press pool that got loops into the presidential press pool. So he got to go to the airport, travel around, cover the events. And one of the other reporters for the Atlanta Voice, Isaiah Singleton, was at Morehouse for the commencement. So apart from the national narratives where people grab one photo, put it on their social media and say, this is what this means in the big scheme of things, these guys are actually there. Donnell's there all the time. He covers their basketball games. He says himself in this interview, he's on campus a couple times a month at least, more than that during school season. So this is an important part of the community. What does Morehouse mean because it has outside influence? What does that community take this? Are they being talked to or are they being talked with? The political ramifications of some of this stuff and the really good reporting by Isaiah Singleton on what really happened. Yes, there was some protests that showed up in pictures. But how were they conducted? Were they silent protests? Were they disruptive protests? How did the alumni act? All of these things build a full picture of what happened when Biden went there. And then there's President Biden himself. We know the importance of this demographic to his reelection campaign. But is it working? How is he actually perceived in the black community in Atlanta that he came in and saw? And Donnell Suggs is going to break that down for him, including things that you're not going to see on the news, like one of the local campaign stops, which is built for local, that he took a certain way that the campaign probably didn't intend it to be. Again, he traveled around the president. He was in the motorcade. He got to see it all. So it's great local perspective. And we also talk a little bit, because I always try to do this, local reporting matters. So when the president comes to town, the local folks know what to do, and they have insight that you just can't have unless you cover it all the time, even if you're a White House press pool reporter or you're one of the famous talking heads on TV. All of that with Donnell Suggs, the Atlanta Voice. Joe Biden and the black community down in Atlanta, Morehouse College commencement, protests, all of that, and some really good conversation about how important local news for local folks is. Donnell Suggs, editor-in-chief of the Atlanta Voice, on Herd Tell right after this. All right, brother, let's bang it out. Welcome back to Herd Tell. Okay, the national news media paid attention to Joe Biden going down to Atlanta and talking to Morehouse College. There's a lot of national narratives involved in that, but that's not what we do. We're going to go to the source, editor-in-chief of the Atlanta Voice, a Black-owned, Black newspaper for over 60 years in the community down there, Donnell Suggs, our good friend. How are you, sir?
Good morning, brother. How are you?
I'm thrilled to have you for a second. I understand the optics here, but before we get into details, you know this campus, Morehouse. You go to the ball games. I've seen you on social media. This is the community you cover. For people that aren't familiar, this is a small college, really. There's like 2,200 in the student body, something like that. Yes, it has an immense outsized influence, not only in that community, worldwide. It's a men's college. Just tell people not just what this college is, but Morehouse has a lot of, what word do you want to use? Symbolic, spiritual meaning? What would you call it?
You can use them all. Universally respected, symbolic. It's definitely spiritual. It is the educational hub for Atlanta. I mean, no disrespect to Georgia Tech and the Georgia States and the Emory Universities, but in our communities that we cover, if you got a Morehouse man in your family, and most do, most have one, a grandson or grandfather, one end of the spectrum or the other, Morehouse means a lot to a lot of people. Even if you didn't go, your grandmother might have worked there and in the cafeteria, your grandfather might have worked there or something. There's very few people I've met in the last 18 years I've been in Atlanta that don't have some sort of connection to Morehouse College.
Yeah, and this makes sense on a lot of level. President Obama spoke there in 2013, then Vice President Biden, of course, was his vice president. If I'm advising the Biden campaign, this is exactly what I would be telling him to do. The Friday previous to this, he was at the African-American Museum in D.C. This is a concerted effort. He's shoring up his support in the Black base. He does not get elected in 2020 without South Carolina, Jim Clyburn, places like Atlanta, where you flipped a couple Senate seats to the Democratic side at all. This all makes great political sense. Did it work? Is this making an effect, do you think?
I mean, it can't hurt. It can't hurt. I mean, you shore up your base. You make sure you get those things checked off. And his speech at Morehouse felt more like a campaign speech than a speech to these young graduates, which is to be expected, because why else would he accept this opportunity on this year? Because he could have done it last year or the year before last or the year after he got elected. So you did what you had to do. Come here, show yourself, be around, and then ultimately talk about what you want for this country and what you've done and accomplished, which again has nothing to do with these young men that are sitting there looking up at you, and then ultimately campaign a little bit. I spent all Saturday with him, and that's all they did was drop into different parts of Atlanta and campaign. So I don't believe it hurt.
Donnell Suggs joining us. You talked about it. You covered the campaign on Saturday. That's what it was. There was a campaign event with Arthur Blank and others. You had a great little tidbit on social media, though. Take us behind the scenes, because there's the press pool that we see in the Brady briefing room, that kind of stuff. We know the talking heads on the networks, because that's a premier spot for those folks to get to cover the White House, and you see that person for usually 2 or 3 years on end. That's a post. But that's not just who covers the president, because they pick up local press pool when they go to these events, because again, it's campaign. They want you to go back to your outlet and campaign. Take people behind the scenes of that dynamic, though, because that's really important to how people get news on things like that, like what you just said, how they go around the city, how they bring in local press. Just take people behind the scenes for a minute.
Yes. Well, the D.C. has a press pool. They have a White House press pool. You name any of your major papers and major websites. And then when they come into a place like Atlanta, they'll try to get some of our local journalists to ride with them. And in this particular case, it was myself representing the Atlanta Voice and Patricia Murphy representing the AJC, and then a bunch of other TV guys. You know, if you don't know Atlanta, Fox 5 Atlanta's been here forever. WSB TV has been here forever. So they were with us too. And what we do is we get in the caravan and you kind of separated. The White House press pool is always riding with them. So they already have their first couple cars for them. And then they'll throw us in there too. And you ride around with the president and traffic gets stopped and you're going 90, it feels like 100 miles an hour down 75 and up 85. And you're going back and forth to different events to cover the president. But you do need a local feel for that. And I respect that they ask us to do that, because like I said in during my tweet, a lot of the folks that are coming from DC, they're just covering him all the time. And they might not even have even been to Atlanta before, other than a quick campaign stop. So it's good to have a local flavor.
Yeah, and you can tell them that there's no way you drive down the interstates that fast in Atlanta ever. I know that from experience.
Ever.
Donnell Suggs joining us. Isaiah Singleton covered this for The Voice. He wrote it up. We're going to link to the whole piece. He's one of those young guys. You're a little bit older than him. You're a mentor to him. When he covers something like this, you're talking about the – and I'm going to talk about one of the things he brought up with some of his fixtures where you had the alumni up front and then the protesting students in the back and the dichotomy mm-hmm. of that. He's a younger guy. When you're just sitting and talking to your staff and these younger guys and they're covering an event like this, what's their perspective? Because I got to figure that even though you're probably aligned on a lot of things, they just see things a little different just because of the age, the generation gap. They're newer to the business. Talk about that part and how somebody like Isaiah covering this gives you a perspective on it.
Well, you got to think about it for a minute. Isaiah graduated from college, I think, 6 years ago. So he was sitting at a
He's closer to a peer than a covering of this thing in a lot of ways.
He's only, I got to get it right, I think 26. So he was just there, 27. He was just in college thinking about his first job in Habersham County that I got him from. So he's young. So his perspective is definitely different than mine, that being at 46 and having covered the president 50 times already. I'm more or less like black and white. Get the speech. If you see anything crazy happen, get that. And he's more or less like, okay, I'll get the speech, but I also want to get that professor, staff member that stood up and had her fist up in the air the whole entire time the president was speaking. That was a member of the faculty at Morehouse. And that was a cool moment. Or something like just saying that there was protest outside, but they were nonviolent. He wanted to stress that. He didn't want to put that there were protests outside and make you think what happened. He wanted to make sure they were nonviolent. So he approached it as someone who's only covered the president twice, being very careful to make sure he showed both sides. Whereas me, having covered the president a ton, I want to get the speech and try to get ahead and get out of there. So I'm glad I sent him because he has a totally different perspective than me.
Yeah, we saw it earlier last week because commencements are staggered over about a 3-week period in America. It just depends. The Duke thing got some coverage, but you know, I know people that were there. They're like, yeah, it's like 30 people out of 6,600. Isaiah pointed that out. He's like, look, there's a couple of protests, but they were mostly silent protests, like just standing or turning your back, the fist in the air picture. Those are non-disruptive, but they still get their point. I thought he made a point to make sure to point that out, that this was non-disruptive. I think that kind of contrast is important because we saw what happened with Duke where they're like, oh, these people all walked out. Like, no, it's 30 people, but it's Jerry Seinfeld, so it gets blown up. Right. This is kind of the local coverage stuff that I appreciated, and I appreciated that point of view.
I think that's what's necessary to have local media involved. I know it's a pain in the butt sometimes. I just tweeted a couple of minutes before we jumped on about how CNN had a rapper on, and I love Cameron. I'm from New York. It's fine. But they had a rapper on talking about, you know, Sean Diddy Combs' video that just got released, and the guy didn't have any media, quote-unquote, media training, and people are complaining that CNN had someone on with no media training. And I say, well, there's local media that they can have on that has media training that we can clearly talk about this without being embarrassed. Local media is very important to have at these events. I don't care if it's the president or we're talking about a rapper and an unfortunate incident of violence. Either or, I think local media is extremely important to have on. That way we can tell the stories from our perspectives to our readership, be it black or white. It's still, I'm on Morehouse's campus at least two or three times a month. So that wasn't foreign territory for me, whereas some of the press pool folks have to be led like a school, a camp at a school trip. And it's not their fault. They just don't know, you know?
Yeah, Donnell Suggs, editor-in-chief of the Atlanta Voice. I thought the dichotomy Isaiah brought up was the Morehouse men. You talked about it. They were easy to see in the photos, man. They got the blazers on. They got the emblems. They got the hats. They got the regalia. Oh. They got their chants. You can tell there's a lot of school spirit and that sort of thing, camaraderie on that. They were up front to the left of the podium. They were very prominent. Most of these protests were people would walk, and then as they walked down, they would go to the back and do their protests, that sort of thing. There is a dichotomy there. We talked about this is presidential stuff. Joe Biden got 92% of the vote. We know that number, but we also know inside those numbers, there's demographic change. There's generational change. That almost seems like a little bit of a generational gap. Those old alumni, the older guard, they were all in on Biden. They know him well from years and years of politics. And the new folks just handle it differently and treat it differently. That's like an Aesop fable almost, right? How that lines up. Do you sense that? We know the numbers too with, you know, men, black men, about 77%. That dips down a little bit. Black women, it goes up a little bit, about 94%. those are really small numerical changes, but a Biden at 92 in black support wins. Biden at 88, 89, 87, I don't know he can win. Do you sense those generational changes and demographic changes inside the community you're covering?
I do want to say this to that point. I think people took a chance and took an opportunity to voice their feelings and express their feelings. I don't think that'll affect their vote because I've said this 100 times on different podcasts and in my and in reporting. The alternative is so vast, and so unsupportive of the black community that you're just not going to go that route. So, yes, I'm standing up. I'm turning my back when you're talking. I've got my raised fist. I might be smirking. I might not have wanted you to come at all. But, man, the alternative is so much more unsupportive of our community. It's not going to force me to go that route.
Yeah, and that's the question is, do they turn out? Do they go the other way, which a lot of people don't think they will, at least in significant numbers? But do they stay home or do they split their ticket? Like a lot of people are like, I'll vote on everything on the ballot and I'll leave president blank or vote for a protest candidate or whatever. That's kind of the question of all this. But that goes to this campaign. This is a traditional campaign that he ran this weekend. You just talked about it. Are we talking to the black community here or are they getting talked at? Because that's usually the accusation when campaign time rolls around.
Yeah, well, to have one of the campaign stops on Saturday be Mary Mac's restaurant on Ponce de Leon, which is, it was black owned at one point. I'm talking about way back in the day, and I guess they might have been changing ownership, but it's considered a black restaurant, black soul food restaurant. Been here forever. It's part of the makeup of Atlanta. To have that be a stop is talking at me. That's talking at me. There's no question about that. It's like going to a barbershop to talk to black men about politics. It's like, dude, I just came from the barbershop. There was like nobody in there just now. Nobody talked about politics. We talked about sports. And I left the barbershop. When I went to Starbucks, I got into a conversation about politics on the line with somebody else. So it's like he tends to pander a little bit. I mean, you can't pretend he doesn't. That being said, I still feel like the alternative is so vast, man. People aren't really going to go that route. We're just not going to vote. And as the black community, at least I can speak for Atlanta in particular, I just don't think there's going to be a heavy turnout for Trump. I just don't think that people want to relive that regime again.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Yeah, I wonder about the overall turnout altogether. Donnell Suggs, great point. One of the reasons I talked to you about Atlanta stuff, and I spent a lot of time in Atlanta over the fall and winter, it really does have a microcosm effect of a lot of what's going on. We talked about the flip seats. You just talked about Trump and his turnout. Those two Senate seats, the recalls were such a disaster, and very rarely can you take an election like those Georgia recalls and go, no, this is Trump's fault for telling these people to stay home and all the other assorted nuts. That's one of those that had a real direct line to it. Going into 2024, is there still hangover from that? Because Georgia seems like, especially the Atlanta part of Georgia, we know the Marjorie Taylor Greene mess out in the yonder lands.
Yes.
Does it seem like there'll be a hangover of that, though? Because, you know, Raffensperger survived. He was kind of the first statewide official to go like, no, I'm not doing this nonsense. And then he won re-election. A lot of people don't talk about it now. That was a big thing. Even the governor kind of had to back off away for a while. How much hangover from that do you think is going to carry over for the Trump folks? Because there does seem to be something going on in Atlanta and Georgia with it.
you can't have a presidential election without us anyway. So we're playing a major part in a big way. It's, we're no longer a battleground state. I think we're just like the it girl right now. It's like, you got to win Georgia if you're going to do this. The carryover is gonna carry over. It's gonna be a, it's gonna count. It's gonna matter. But I just feel like you know, even with Marjorie Taylor Greene and her antics and what have you, the folks in North Georgia, they will turn out. They will turn out, and the amount of votes Trump got in Georgia, he will get. I think those voters are still out and about. I just don't see him getting a lot of the new voters that are coming up. I'll give you an example. My stepdaughter's 19. This is her first presidential election. Her generation looks at voting for Trump almost as like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, that's crazy. And it's like, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of younger people like that, that are new to the numbers, that are new to voting. And I think you got to pick up newer voters. And I can't imagine Trump picking up newer voters in Georgia.
Yeah, that's a good point. Donnell Suggs. You were at, talking about Morehouse for this, but you were over at Spelman. This is kind of the mirror image in a lot of ways. This is the women's college, right? I'm not going to accuse you of bigfooting and getting the Angela Bassett beat on purpose for nefarious.
You totally should. You totally should.
But talk about that dichotomy a little bit, because we talked about these Morehouse men and the, you know, Senator Warnock's one of them. You know, these are powerful guys. Talk about the over at Spelman. They didn't get any media coverage because they didn't have the president.
Right.
But talk about that dichotomy, because you know both of these schools well. Are they two sides of the same coin to the community as far as the future goes, do you think? And just kind of to put those together for us.
Oh, totally. When I mention Morehouse, I should usually mention Spelman. We just weren't because the president was at one and we're not at the other. Those are, it's the same coin. It's just different sides. A Spelman woman, a Morehouse man is expected to go out and add to the community. So that's, those schools are mirror images. That said, the commencements were not. I think Ms. Bassett did a wonderful job. I don't think we had to worry about protests. There were a couple of students I saw with those scarves. They had them kind of in their, you know, in their gowns. Very few. There's a couple of flags not being waved, but kind of over their shoulders, a couple African flags. I saw Ghana for sure. I saw Haiti. So I saw that. And again, I'm counting 5, 6, 7 people. And even those quiet protests were, I mean, there were so many graduates, you could barely see them. If I didn't see them protest in, I wouldn't even been able to see it. So totally different animal as far as how everything turned out.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you too. These are smaller colleges. These are historically black colleges. I know the president, he talked about investment in historically black colleges, and these are two of the real prominent ones down there. Mm-hmm. But they kept these schools small on purpose. This is purposeful education. They're talking about keeping them small, pipeline directly back into the community. You can come from wherever, but we expect you to go back in the community when you leave here.
Right.
It runs counter to how all the rest of higher education is going. Is this something we should be talking about when we talk about education and higher education more of, not just because it's historically black and all that means and for the communities, but like, hey, this is specific colleges for specific folks, but it's community oriented to get them back into the process. That seems like a part of the argument we're not using. And the example is right in front of us for everybody, not just the black community.
I think it's what makes special going, being a Morehouse man or a Spelman woman. You know for a fact, you're not going to get lost in the university system. When you go to those two campuses, they actually share campuses, kind of, sort of. And it's what's beautiful about the experience, that you are being in an incubator. You are going to be in a very small, tight incubator, and there's alumni base that's always around. And it is a special, it's what makes it special. I mean, I can't get mad at Duke. Duke is Duke. Duke can't get smaller. Duke is Duke. Harvard is Harvard. You can't make Harvard really small. It is what it is, but it's exclusive. I think there's a beauty of Spelman College, for example, being small and exclusive, and how that helps this young woman that goes there as a freshman come out as a young woman and have a sense of self because she was in this little incubator. And is it real life? No. Life on Spelman campus is not real life all around Atlanta, but is it special, and does it help breed a certain kind of voter maybe, or a woman, or someone in the community? Definitely, for sure.
Yeah, Donnell Suggs joining us, Atlanta Voice. You're covering these generational changes that we have. And we have kids of the same age that are basically young adults now. So we're watching this in our private life, not just covering it as writers and people trying to cover the stories. When you've got something like the Atlanta Voice, how do you balance that of like, okay, this is the way things are, but I see this train coming, even though it's not quite here yet. When you start covering this stuff, like these graduates coming up, like the younger and younger voter, you've got, Georgia's got two of the younger senators in the U.S. Senate right now, even though they're both very, very, I think Ossoff is the youngest, if I remember right. You've got this generational change coming. How do you cover something that's not quite happening, but happening enough that you want to make sure you're mentioning as an editor? Because I think that's an important thing we miss in the news, where we get just so reactionary and it's like, oh, well, why did this happen? It's like, no, we need to leave some breadcrumbs for the folks, right?
Right. And I think that's really what's awesome about being at a smaller institution like the Atlanta Voice and having a segregated, what do you call it, segregated? But I cover Atlanta. We cover Atlanta. Every now and again, we'll be up North Georgia. We might be a little bit in South Georgia, but we're covering Atlanta and Metro Atlanta. So I'll be first one to admit, I'm biased. If it's not Atlanta, if Atlanta's not involved, then I don't necessarily need to. And I've been called pro-Atlanta in the past, or someone that doesn't really want to chase down a lot of national stories. But I'm thinking, we have enough national news here. So it's very important for the Atlanta Voice to be on the front lines of stories that reflect this city, because this city is becoming... I mean, I moved here 18 years ago, and it was still, you know, like, oh, pretty cool, and it had an Olympics, and it was kind of, stuff was happening, and it's changed so much since then. So it's cool to be able to be on the front and cover it, but also cover it from a Black perspective. So you have to be very careful. Careful is how I would tell you how we're covering it. Be very careful to cover the Black stories, but don't make sure that you don't miss important news.
That I'm glad you put it that way, because, you know, I work with a local outlet from where I'm from, West Virginia. One of the reasons I went back to doing that is you have a wide perspective. But when something big happens, like we had a tornado hit in a community that you can't find on Google unless you go looking for a real small community. Right. But it's the community where the church I grew up in is at. So I know those. Like my editor, people's like, oh, it hit these six houses. My editor's already at those houses because he already knows them. He's talking to them. I think it's important what you just said of, you can have the national stories, but then when the president comes, and this loops back to where we started with you, the White House press corps can ask you where to go on Spelman and ask you the background and ask you the history. This local media is important because you're supposed to advocate for your community, not root for a side, just advocate for your community. But then when the big news story breaks, you've got the information that they don't have to go and find anymore. And Atlanta's going to have a lot of breaking news, because we already talked about it. It's a microcosm of the whole country right now.
Yeah, about it.
I think it's one of the second or third fastest growing cities in the world, not just America. It's very fast growing. I know when I was driving, just put it this way, when I'd just be driving up and down Piedmont, and it's like, oh, there's a new apartment building that wasn't there 6 weeks ago.
That's right. Because
they're throwing them up so fast. When you're on the edge of growth, how do you spin that back to politics and culture and community? Because you just said you've been there 18 years. That place is changing. It's changing faster than people realize. How do you look at it and go, okay, I've got to write as a city that's coming on. It's not the city I got here.
You got to be careful. You got to be careful to remember the people who are here that was reading the Atlanta Voice before it changed 52,000 times. And it's very important. Remember the people in these neighborhoods, in the Mechanicsvilles and the Oak Parks, that were here reading the Atlanta Voice before we got access to the president, before we got access to, you know, Angela Bassett's of the world. And make sure you are still reporting on local issues. Make sure you're still going to the community meetings. Make sure you're writing about the library being open or the airport station that being reopened again after some construction. So still doing the local news at very, very grassroots levels, but also understanding that we're growing too and the city's growing. So we have to also be in the presidential cavalcade when we're driving down 75. So I always tell people that. Get the local stories. Give me a day story. Talk about that community. Go to that meeting today. I'm going to be at two different campaign headquarters tonight for the Fulton County Sheriff's. There's a primary today, Super Tuesday for us. And I'll be at two different campaign headquarters, because you don't want to forget that that's a local election. And it's not as sexy as the presidential election. But guess what? The people who read me want to know who the next sheriff is going to be. And they voted for that person. So I got to still remember to cover that.
Yep, Donnell. So I remember a great example of this was last year. Back in the summer or fall, I forget which one it was, but you had the apartment building complex that got shut down because of the water bill got cut off. I couldn't find anybody in Atlanta media that was even covering that, and you were there for basically 2 days straight. And but it's little stuff like that. It's like, well, for the people that live there and their families, that's a big deal.
Sure.
We talk about housing issues. We talk about rents too high, utility bills. That's just kind of the perfect example of you were physically there covering it, and most people had no idea it was even going on.
This goes right back to the story you just told where you said your editor was like, oh, I know exactly where that church is. Oh, I know exactly where that is. That was less than a mile from my house. I knew exactly where it was when I saw it. When I heard the name, I was like, But when they said the address, I'm like, I got to go. And I got my car, and I went over there, and I parked my car, and I was out there. And I stayed out there until they got it squared away the next couple of days. Local news matters. You got to be able to be there on the ground. I know it wasn't a sexy story. That's why you didn't get all the major networks, because it doesn't involve Trump or Biden or anyone else that's got, you know, millions of dollars. It's just balancing local news and international news and national news. It's a hard thing, but I'm enjoying us doing it.
Yeah, Donnell Suggs joining us. Let's go back out big picture to wrap up with you, though. Obviously, it's going to be a loud election. Georgia's going to be the epicenter of it. We talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't want to waste time on her because I think she's a clown. But, you know, that's going to bring attention to Georgia. But then you got the Atlanta. The dichotomy of Atlanta and the rest of Georgia is a thing, but it's a thing that's got national implications now in an election year. Where do you think this thing's going? I don't want an election prediction here, but just the way it's going is, I think this is going to be the battleground kind of conflating. You have the growing progressive urban, like that story writes itself, right? And it's not going to go away. It's just an election year. It gets heightened up, right?
I mean, that's what it is. It's just going to get turned up a notch because the closer we get to November 5th, the more sexy the words Trump and Biden get, you know, make your stories kind of trend online or what have you. I think we're just going to stay the course. And of course, they're going to get more hotter. A lot of those stories are going to get a lot hotter because it's just getting closer to to election day. Not changing anything we're doing.
Yeah, I agree. Donnell Suggs. So here's the key to us as, you know, writers, and you're a journalist and people that just care about the news. What do we do the day after the election? How do we cover that stuff? Talk about what you're doing with the Atlanta Voice. You talked about it a little bit already, but just set it up for folks, and we're going to link to the website. What you do the day after the election when people aren't paying attention to Atlanta or the president isn't in town.
Right. You get right back to business. You get right back to covering your local news. You lay it all out for folks. I mean, they probably watched it, especially after November 5th. Everyone's watched it on TV and been talked to death with CNN with those panels with like 15 people on it.
People over and over again.
It drives me crazy. It's 15 people. I don't even know which one's talking. There's so many people. After that is over, you get right back to grassroots, what you were doing, covering your community from the ground up, and explaining to people who's now in charge in this position or who's now in charge in that position. Get right back to covering local news. We have to do that.
Yeah, I've gotten to where when I get hit with a media appearance, first thing I go is like, how many other people are talking at the same time? That's like the first thing I ask. It's crazy. Donnell Suggs, he does great work with the Atlanta Voice. Isaiah Singleton wrote this piece. We need to get him on here. He's been writing all kinds of good stuff. We'd love to have more of your staff. Let folks know where they can follow you, follow the Atlanta Voice, the great team you got going, so they can keep up with you until we get you back on Hurtel again, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, you all can follow Isaiah at isingleton at theatlantavoice.com if you want to email him. And same thing with me, dsuggs at theatlantavoice.com if you want to email me some questions. But you can follow The Atlanta Voice on all social medias at The Atlanta Voice. And I'm on Twitter at SuggsWriter. And just keep on following us. The website is free. There's no paywall. And then there's a free newsletter. You get the paper every Friday directly to your inbox. So there's no stress. But, I mean, it's local news. If you want to care about what's happening here in Atlanta, we'll get you that.
Yep. And failing that, you can usually find him at various Waffle Houses around the greater Atlanta
for sure.
Metro area. Yes. I look forward to getting down there, and we'll do some scattered and covered together, my friend.
I promise you that, brother.
Donnell Suggs, you do great work, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to Heard Tell. Let's end on a good note here, shall we? Since we've been talking to Donnell Suggs, the editor-in-chief of the Atlanta Voice, let's use an Atlanta Voice piece that was about something other than what President Biden was at down in Atlanta, Georgia Tech. Listen to this piece by Lauren Wack. In June 1965, Ronald Yancey walked across Georgia Tech's commencement stage with an electrical engineering degree to become the first black student to graduate from the institution. Almost 60 years later, in May 2024, his granddaughter, Deanna Yancey, walked across a similar stage to earn her master's in electrical and computer engineering. Her legacy was personified, and at the end of the stage stood Ronald as he prepared to present Deanna with the diploma and pass the baton. "It was amazing," she said. "It's kind of hard to live in the moment because I know with the hustle and bustle of graduation, it wasn't like we could spend a five-minute moment in the middle of other people graduating together," Deanna said. "But I know afterwards, when I finally got to meet them outside, I hugged my grandfather again, and he told me how proud he was of me. And so in a moment like that, I just cherish. It's a legacy that was hard won. From multiple admittance rejections to social isolation and the racial discrimination of the time, Ronald's perseverance is now memorialized through a statue titled The First Graduate that sits on the stairs of the Collin Undergraduate Learning Column." And there's a picture of Deanna sitting beside the statue in her regalia, which is pretty cool. You look at it when we link to the piece in the show notes. Deanna said she didn't truly grasp the gravity of her grandfather's legacy until she attended Penn State for undergrad. It wasn't until 2015, Tech's 130th anniversary, that the school began reaching out to him for his perspective on time as an undergrad. And growing up, Deanna didn't recall the random regalia that comes with embracing your alma mater littered around her grandparents' house. Quote, "Before then, it was just very quiet," she said. "And then all of a sudden it was, oh, here's a Georgia Tech blanket. And oh, here's another hat. And here's more Georgia Tech stuff." And I think it was around that time that his story started to get a little bit more public, that he started embracing Georgia Tech a little bit more. When she applied to complete her master's at Tech, Deanna revealed that she didn't tell her family until she was accepted. And in an effort to keep her identity low key and focused on her classes and full-time job without the pressures of her name, she also revealed she didn't make the school aware she was related to Ronald until 2 months before graduation, when she came up with the idea to have him on stage with her. It became a mad scramble then to organize the touching moment when Deanna donned in an all-black cap and gown with a red, white, and gold master's hood draped across her back, shook her smiling grandfather's hand, and hugged him as he handed her her diploma. "I also wanted to share this story because I know a lot of people in the younger generations don't know due to the fact that it happened almost 60 years ago," Deanna said. "I wanted to revamp his story and have more people get interested in his story and do a little bit more research on him and the institution. Having him on stage, it was like, I know this person who's on the other side of the stage handing me my diploma, and I know how happy and proud he is of me. And then all the years I spent going over to his house and we were talking about the latest things in engineering and the latest tech, kind of like passing the baton from one engineer to another." Deanna joins the 3% of black women who are engineers, a feat that now marks her own legacy. While she would love to see more black graduates from these institutions, she recognizes the accomplishment as a huge win for the community. Quote, "Representation matters. So being a black woman in engineering and getting her master's, I think, was huge just for our community. So that it was also another reason why I was like, wow, this is a huge moment." Reflecting on her grandfather's sacrifices, Deanna said she had the chance to talk to the students who would soon become the first black graduates of Georgia Tech. She would tell them simply one thing: keep going. The legacy you set here is going to influence generations to come. I've seen and heard so many different stories of black graduate students from Georgia Tech who are like, look, your grandfather's story is the reason I keep pushing. I felt like I wasn't alone in this situation because I know someone went through it worse than I did, and they were still able to make it. Knowing that he paved the way for so many people, especially myself, I'd be like, you've got this. I know it's really hard, and I know you've got a lot of cards stacked against you, but you've got to keep going. Cool story, multiple generations explaining why things matter, why we cover them, and great story from the Atlanta Voice there. We appreciate that. Appreciated Donnell Suggs joining us today. This is the secret sauce to really discerning our times. We can look at international and national news, but always try to get that local perspective on it. I know that as a West Virginian trying to explain West Virginian to other parts of the country, I know that from living in different places, you got to learn about the people in the places. Little things like this, the little pieces of history, the threads, the human threads that combine us all. That's what we like to really cover here. Yeah, we cover culture and politics and all that stuff. They're really all people's stories. And that's a really good one. That'll do it for Hurt Tell. However you're listening, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, any of the podcasting platforms, we're on them. If you're using an aggregate podcasting site, we see those too. Appreciate that. Make sure you drop us a line. Let us know, hurttellshow@gmail.com, hurttellshow on the Twitter. If any of those platforms give you the option to leave a comment and a rating, please do that. It doesn't cost you anything but a couple clicks. It's a big deal for us. Lets those platforms know our program is worth promoting and giving status to. Also lets other people know what you think, and we see it, and we appreciate your feedback. One other thing, the YouTube channel has new graphics. We've been working hard on that, updating some things there. All of the latest episodes are up on there in glorious color. If you just really want to see what me and all our guests look like, our guests look good. I've got a better face for radio, but if you want to watch on the YouTube, we'd sure appreciate that. Make sure you subscribe and click notifications on the YouTube channel and share that with folks too. Some people actually listen to YouTube just to hear podcasts and radio shows. So the podcast version of this is also on YouTube if you just want to listen to it. And the videos are on the YouTube channel as well. Hurttell.substack.com, one-stop shopping for everything we do. Doesn't cost you a thing, but if you want to give us money, we will take it. And that'll do it. So wherever you are and whoever you're with, across the street or around the world, we hope you're well. We hope you are well fed. And we'll talk to you again soon for more Hurt Tell. All the music on Hurt Tell is provided under a creative content license from MonsterCat.com. Somos la máquina.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.